The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
An honor to be here. I'm always humble when Pastor Morris asks me to come speak to you because, but it's also nerve-wracking because I know what big shoes I have to fill. I am not the preacher Pastor Morris is. Y'all know that by now. But it's funny to me because also, like, we're different in a lot of ways, Pastor Morris and I. Not the least, for instance, my mom is here today and got here, asked me if I want to go to lunch afterwards. Of course, I'm like thinking, we might be able to go to breakfast after, as short as my sermon is going to be. So there's some differences between me and Pastor Morris, as you're all well aware. But now, I do think I have a word from the Lord for you today. I think it's a good one. I don't think all my messages are always good ones. This one is, so you're in for a treat. I really just want to, let's jump right in, because this happens to be the second Sunday of Easter. How many of you knew there were more than one Sundays in Easter? Yes, we are in the second Sunday of Easter. I think Easter lasts about 6 weeks in the church calendar. We're in the second Sunday, and which is just an exciting time to be a Christian, when we're in the time of celebrating our resurrected Lord. And we're going to do that today. And we're going to do it from a different perspective. And as you see, the title of my message is called Doubting with Thomas. So obviously we're going to preach from the book of Job. That was a joke. Thomas is not in Job. We're looking at John, Jim, so I thought you told me John. No, we're looking at John chapter 20. So you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to start in verse 19. Okay. John chapter 20, verse 19. And when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see the mark of his nails, the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." I have a video I want to show you all of a man named Pastor John Ortberg. I have been familiar with Pastor John's work for a number of years now. When I started going to Fuller Seminary, I found out that he was actually on the board of directors at the seminary, and I got a chance to briefly meet him and his daughter Laura, who I've kept in touch with. And Pastor John wrote this book that I have here, originally called Faith and Doubt. Now they changed the title, No Doubt. And one of the most biggest influences on my life that I read before seminary, but after I got to know the man a little bit, I realized just how important this is to me. And this video I'm going to show you is him talking a little bit about this book, and I think it ties in a lot of what we're going to be looking at when we look at the life of the disciple of Doubting Thomas. So, Jim, when that video is ready, you can go ahead and show it whenever you can.
I wrote a book called Faith and Doubt, and in a lot of ways, I think the word "and" is the most important word in that title. So many people think that it's faith or doubt. But the reality is, Paul says, we see through a glass darkly. One day we will see face to face. And right now, we don't have certainty. I will sometimes, when I'm talking on this subject, tell people that I'll ask folks if I'm holding a $20 bill in my hand. $20 is worth about 80 pounds. See who believes me, and like one person will raise their hand. And then I'll say, no, I'm going to destroy your faith. Then I'll open my hand up, and there will be a $20 bill in there. And I'll explain, the reason that I say I'm going to destroy your faith is now you know. And when knowledge comes, faith is no longer needed. As long as we have faith, we will also wrestle with doubt. And it's very important for people to understand, the fact that you have doubts does not mean that you cannot have faith. A distinction that's been very helpful to me has been to recognize the difference between certainty and commitment. Certainty is more of a feeling than not. I cannot generate certainty by an act of the will. And many people get into trouble in their spiritual lives because they try to force a feeling of certainty. But even when certainty is not possible, commitment is always on the table because I can choose to be committed. And commitment is a very important part of faith. It's actually the part that Jesus asks us to offer him to be able to be in a relationship with him. One of the interesting and to me really comforting aspects of the lives of the disciples is their humanity, their commitment to Jesus in the midst of vacillation. And what's very striking in the Gospel of Matthew is after all those years of Jesus pouring into them, they're watching miracles. And then finally, them seeing him crucified, the depths of despair, and then the joy of the resurrection. We're told at the very end in Matthew that they gather together before he ascends, and they worship him, but some doubted. And it's amazing to think, even after the resurrection, there were still folks that doubted. And it's even more amazing to think Matthew actually included that in his gospel. He's not trying to whitewash the portrait of the disciples. And that means that even in the midst of my doubt, of our doubt, we can still give worship and we can still be commissioned by God to do the work of Jesus around the world, which is precisely what happened with those disciples.
Now, I want you to keep Pastor John's words in your mind as we go on a little trip. I want you to go back with me this day. The day of the resurrection. It was the third day after Jesus' crucifixion. And the women that morning were going back to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' burial. Because Jesus died on the Friday, the eve of the Sabbath, there was very quickly preparations made that were too quick, and they weren't able to finish. So the women, after the Sabbath day, were able to go there on the first Sunday, the first day of the week, and were able to go finish the burial. So as the women went, they discovered a shocking revelation. They got there and they saw the tomb had rolled away. And they saw two men there, and the two men looked at the women and said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." So the women hurried back to the disciples where they were locked in their house, and they told them, "Jesus is alive. He's been resurrected. He's alive. He's alive." The disciples were panicked by this, and they ran to the tomb, saw that the tomb was empty, but they were not under the belief that Jesus was resurrected, because in the first century, women's word was not to be believed. A lot different than today. No. But these women, who were the first to preach the gospel, they were literally the first to proclaim Jesus is raised. Think about that. Women, first preachers of the gospel. I'll leave that sit there. That's a whole other sermon. disciples refuse to believe because this word is coming from women who cannot be believed. And then, so the disciples' mind were, oh my gosh, somebody has stolen the body of our Lord. This was bad for the disciples because that means that if somebody has stolen the body of the Lord, the Jews and the Romans were going to think it was them. And if the Jews and the Romans weren't after them already, they were going to be now. So there is reason to fear. Now, Thomas was with them at this point. Thomas heard this news, and his first thought was, I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. So Thomas immediately thought was, my twin brother's out there. They're going to find him, think he's me, and they will also be after my brother, and my brother's in danger. So Thomas left to find his brother, make sure he was safe, make sure to tell him to stay low. And wouldn't you believe it, a few hours later, Thomas comes back that evening, and now, not only were the women saying Jesus was alive, now all his friends were saying they had seen Jesus too. All the disciples were now saying, yes, Jesus is risen, he's alive, we've seen him. And Thomas is like, have you all lost your minds? And Thomas was like, no, I don't care what you're saying, you're all hysterical. Unless I put my finger into his nail scars, my hand into the wound where the spear pierced his side, I'm not going to believe. Now, Thomas catches a lot of flack from us when we read that. We always think that, Thomas didn't have a lot of faith, did he? That's why we call him Doubting Thomas. He's a doubter. He's not a man of faith. But however, Thomas is actually a man of great faith. In fact, he was one of the most committed of all Jesus' disciples. We can look in John chapter 11, verse 16. This was right after Jesus has heard the news that Lazarus had died. And Jesus is like, I want to go see Lazarus. The disciples were like, no, don't you do that, Lord. Because they had just come from Judea, and that's where Lazarus was buried. And also in Judea, we just left there because they were trying to stone Jesus. So, obviously, disciples thought this was a bad idea. And so in John chapter 11, verse 16, where it showed that Jesus is set his face towards Judea, he's walking there, and all disciples were just kind of, he's going to die, we're going to die. And finally, it was Thomas that said, turned to disciples and said, well, let's go with him. We might as well die with him. Let's go also. We're probably going to die with him. Thomas was so committed to Jesus that he was willing to die with Jesus before any other disciples were. And much like Pastor John said in the video, Thomas had doubts about this. Thomas was with the disciples. He didn't want Jesus to go back to Judea. But despite his doubts, he was so committed that he was willing to follow Jesus in spite of his doubts. So fast forward. It's that evening when the disciples have told Thomas that Jesus was risen. Thomas leaves the house. And a week goes by, verse 26, a week later, disciples were getting in the house. A whole week has passed. Listen to me now, look up here. A whole week has passed. An entire week with no sightings of Jesus. Not a one. Okay? Now, I want you to picture what's going on in Jesus' mind. Thomas' mind, excuse me. Thomas, worried for his life. The body of his Lord is missing. Somebody obviously stole it because dead people don't get up. They're dead. We all know this. We've seen dead people. They don't get up. So obviously somebody has stolen the body of Jesus. The women in their hysteria reported that he was alive, and somehow that hysteria has gone over to his friends. So his whole family, his group of people that he's followed with for 3 years, are losing their minds, and he doesn't know what to do about it. And then I can't help but think, imagine, as Thomas was thinking about all this, the stress on his life was so great, I can't help but think, he starts wondering, but what if it's true? And if it's true, that is worse than if the other disciples are going crazy, because if it's true, that means that Jesus showed himself to the other disciples, but not to me. If it's true, why hasn't Jesus appeared to me? I was the one committed to go to him to Judea when nobody else was. Why did Jesus think that I am unworthy to reveal himself to me, to my brothers, and not to me? All these thoughts have gone as a week passed. Just like today, we are a week past Easter Sunday. It's been a whole week. And I want you to know, last weekend, I had a great Easter weekend. On Friday, I was lucky to attend a Good Friday service at my home church, North Shore Vineyard. We had an awesome Mediterranean potluck supper. It was delicious, and me and a couple of people on the teaching team there were able to share. Then on Sunday, I was able to speak at a sunrise service over at Honaker Funeral Home on Goss, which is awesome. Then I got to go celebrate back at North Shore Vineyard with my church family as we celebrated the resurrection of the Lord. And then I got to sleep for 4 hours. It was glorious. Glorious. Jesus was risen, I was not, in those 4 hours. And it was amazing. And so I had such a good Easter weekend, thinking about what Jesus had done for me and how he defeated death. Jesus got up out of his grave and put death in it and sealed the tomb. So death was in his grave. What an awesome time. Then Monday morning came, and I went to work. And I recently started a new job with a company called CSpire, cell phone company. At this point in my life, I'm 3 months in, best job I ever had. I enjoy going to work. But not Monday, not the Monday after Easter. Because every customer I had was just sassy. That's the only way I can put it. They were sassy. And this was creeping on my nerves. I even had a local pastor in Picayune come, and he was also sassy. I said, "You preached on the resurrection yesterday, lose the sass." But no, there was another customer. I had to stay 30 minutes late because the customer was angry, wanting to cancel their service, and I had to, you know, calm and everything. And I had this thought, gosh, the resurrection seems so, so long ago. The week didn't get much better. This might be because I ran out of my antidepressants, so there's this heaviness on me. But then Friday at work, our entire system went down. So you can imagine how good of a mood that put the customers in, because we couldn't sell anything to them. They were upset because we couldn't do anything for them. I was upset because I was losing money. I probably lost over $150 of commissions just that day. And I kept thinking, Easter Sunday was just this past Sunday. It's been a week. And so I kept thinking, you know, what do you think when you feel like the resurrection was such a long time ago? We got a lot of people out this morning. People are sick. People might be dying. And the resurrection just feels like it's so, so long ago. The joy of Resurrection Sunday has faded away. I can't help but wonder if that's kind of what Thomas was feeling here. But in verse 26, a week had passed, Thomas was still thinking he was the only one sane among his friends. And if he was saying, and they were also saying, that means that's even worse, because for some reason the Lord chose to leave him out. So Thomas had all these thoughts going in his mind. And all of a sudden he's with his friends again. Doors were locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus was there. The first words out of Jesus' mouth to Thomas, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And he looks at Thomas and he says, "Hey, Thomas, don't put your finger right here. Look, put your hand right there." And Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." And a lot of people look at read the scripture and think like Jesus is showing up Thomas right here because he used these words that Thomas had used. "If I don't see the nail, put my finger in his nail marks, if I don't put my hand aside, I will never believe." I like to see this, Jesus saying, "Hey, look at this. You said that. Shame on you for doubting." I don't see it that way because Jesus said, "Peace to you." And then he said, "Yes, look at my hands, look at my side." But he said that to the disciples when Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't shaming Thomas. He appeared to Thomas and he was rewarding Thomas for his commitment in the face of his doubts. "Peace. I'm going to give you exactly what you need. Exactly what you want. Come here. Touch me. Look. That's not a ghost. That's a scar. Put your hand on my side. I'll give you exactly what you need. I will reward your commitment to me, your faith in me, despite your doubts." So, sometimes, I just love how Pastor John said, you know, it's about commitment in the face of uncertainty. Because I think a lot of times we look at faith like one of those games at the carnival and the fair, you know, the string games where you get the mallet and you're hitting the little peg and it makes the puck go up and hit the bell if you're strong enough. Sometimes in life we think that faith is a lot like that. Well, if I just have enough faith to get the puck up to that bell, there'll be healing. If I just have enough faith to get that puck up to that bell, then I'm going to step into my dreams and my callings. If I just have enough faith to get that puck up to that bell, then my children are going to return to the Lord. All these things. But the thing is, that is not what faith is about. If we just think, oh, I just need to will myself to have more faith. I cannot doubt. No doubt, you know. But that's not what faith is about. I used to hear all the time when people would pray for a sick person, they would pass away. Well, we just didn't have enough faith. That is not the Bible's story of faith. The Bible tells about faith as the substance of what is hoped for, the evidence of faith that are not seen. Faith is not about certainty. Faith is about being committed to Jesus when there is no uncertainty. Faith is about being committed to Jesus when people are dying. Faith is about being committed to Jesus when people are sick. People is about being committed to Jesus when your dreams are failing. People is about being committed to Jesus as you're going through your depression. Faith is not about the absence of doubt. It is about being committed in the midst of them. And so, Jesus appeared to Thomas at peace. And I want you to know, whatever your doubts may be this week, I want to know Jesus saying to you, "Hey, peace. I really don't know if my relatives are going to live for this." Jesus says, "Peace. I really don't know if I can get over this bout of depression." Jesus says, "Peace. Put your finger here. Put your hand on my side." Jesus is here for you in the midst of your doubts. Just because you have doubts, Jesus does not doubt you. Jesus is more committed to you than you are to Him. And so, in our doubts, let's have faith. Let us believe His Word in the midst of our doubts and let us continue to follow Him. I want to pray for you. Everybody close your eyes. I don't do this often, you know, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to. So I want you to think about the last week, the last 7 days since Easter Sunday. If you had some kind of doubt or worry in your life, I just want you to slip your hand up right now. Nobody looking around. those with your hand up now, I want you to shut your eyes tight. And I want you to imagine Jesus appearing in front of you. Whatever your picture of Jesus looks like, see him in front of you. He's smiling. And I want you to hear him say, "Peace be with you. Look at these nail marks in my hands. Put your finger here. This is my side. Put your hand here." Let Jesus reward your faith in the midst of your doubts by bringing peace. Jesus, I want to thank you for your presence with us. I want to thank you for loving us in spite of our doubts. I want to thank you for never leaving or forsaking us. And I want to thank you for the people in this room. Though they have doubts, they are committed to you. And through their commitment, in spite of their doubts, you are going to reward them by one day seeing them face to face, speaking a word of peace to them, and letting us touch your hands, feel your side, where you died for us. And you rose again. Lord, I ask your presence be with us as we go forward into our next week, that though we may have doubts, we can press on through them, thanks to our faith and commitment to you, knowing that even though we doubt, your way is the most righteous way. Even though we doubt, we will still have commitment to you as you are committed to us. And on the last day, you will raise us up. And we will no longer need faith or doubt. We will have knowledge of the holy. And Lord, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.